My guest at this time is Jim Garrow. He's the author of The Pink Pagoda, One Man's Quest to End Gendercide in China. He is the executive director of the Bethune Institute in Canada and was the runner-up for the 2009 Nobel Peace Prize, which was ultimately won by President Obama. The impact of gendercide in China has been in the news a lot lately as a result of the ongoing saga surrounding longtime activist Chen Guangcheng, who has been a strong advocate against the one-child policy and specifically forced abortions, forced sterilization. Jim Garrow's work has been to deal with the births that have happened but have been hoping to elude some of the results that happen to most female children in China, which is if they don't get aborted, they get killed after they're born. So, Jim, thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, this started in such an unlikely way. It was basically you had an employee in China. You were working in China, an employee there whose sister had had a baby girl, and she was basically lamenting the fact that this child was going to end up dead because she saw no other way around it. Talk about the sense that the Chinese people have when they find out they're having a girl and why you decided to get involved in the way you did.
Well, Xinyi, one of our office assistants, her sister, was forced or was about to be forced by the husband to set aside, as they call it, really to kill the baby girl that they had just had. And I was so shocked to actually be faced with this that I offered to do whatever I could do to save this baby. And Xinyi and her husband and a crew of us flew halfway around China or across China to meet with this man and, bargain for this child and ultimately saved it. And that one child led to two more a few weeks later, and then it was just a snowball after that.
What is the normal Chinese government response either to a female child and certainly a second or third child?
Well, you know, it, very much like the Romans. Do you remember the Romans had the chance? The husband was presented with a newborn, and it was either thumbs up or thumbs down. That's basically the way it is in the culture of China, that the husband has the right to decide whether they keep or not keep a baby. And, of course, with the one-child policy, you're kind of stuck with what you've got unless you do end the child and try for a son, which culturally is what they want to have.
Who actually kills the child after it's born?
Oh, boy, there can be a number of different folks, but often it falls on the father.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it's awful. Sometimes it's Buddhist priests. I mean, they're all part of the thinking, the religious thought of reincarnation drives a lot of this.
Unbelievable. So, Jim, talk about how this snowballed. You mentioned how this first child led to two more and then more after that. Talk about how your heart was impacted to take on these additional cases.
Well, you know, it's we have four children ourselves, and our last three and four were twins, identical twin boys, and one of them was born dead. And in the foment of that whole situation, I ended up in the chapel in the hospital, and I basically was crying out to God for help. And I promised, you know, it was one of those moments where I vowed, Lord, you give me what I want, which is the life of this child, and I'll do whatever you want. Just show me. And, of course, years and years later, he showed me.
We're talking with Jim Garrow. The book is The Pink Pagoda. And, Jim, you mentioned how once you heard this story, how your heart was moving, you had to take action. Does that suggest that in general culture over there, this isn't something that's talked about a lot?
Oh, no, it's not talked about. It's one of those avoided things, the elephant in the room often in different dialogues you may have with Chinese people.
What do you hear when you talk to these mothers about the excruciating decision, and even the fathers, I'm sure, who face extremely excruciating decisions, particularly if their first child's a girl?
Yeah, it's mostly mom, though, quite honestly. It's heartbreaking. It absolutely is heartbreaking. But, you know, the male dominance, the male decides what's going to happen. And my joy is just being able to offer them a way out, an alternative.
Talk about how you decided to basically make this an adoption effort, so you had some place to bring these children once you were able to convince their parents that the life of the child was worth sparing.
Yeah, we've found huge numbers of Chinese people who would like to have children and can't, and now we have a database with just over 93,000, almost 94,000 couples, Chinese couples, who want children. Want to be able to adopt. So we've kind of formed an illegal, under-the-table adoption service, and that's exactly what we're doing, 44,000 babies later.
over the last 12 plus years. Jim, what does the government think about you? You said it's kind of under the radar and not technically legal there, but I assume they know about you.
Well, they do, and they examined us. They had a good look at us for a few months to decide whether to kill me or leave me alone. And in the end, it wasn't just leave me alone. It was a matter of wanting to help because they thought we were doing a good thing. So the government knows about us. They know it's illegal. They turn a blind eye. They turn, look away. And oftentimes, they've helped us.
Has this spawned more organizations like yours?
No, I've never heard of anyone trying it. It's crazy what we do. It really is. But, again, God opened the door for us to be quite successful at it.
Absolutely incredible. So now when you consider the case of Chen and all the attention that he's getting and all the punishment that he and his family have endured over time, how does that rub with the government allowing you to do what you do?
Well, I'm a foreigner, and so I have a special status in China. He is not. And unfortunately, he would be looked at as almost a traitor with the things that he has done. I honor the man. I just think it's marvelous, and I honor the people who are protecting him. Good for them. But again, being a foreigner, being what I am and doing what I do, and by the way, having the money that I have, that makes a huge difference. Mr. Chen doesn't have money.
You realized very early on that this was not going to be an inexpensive proposition to move these children into family situations where their lives would be spared. What racks up all the bills here?
Actually, there's all sorts of things. There's documents that have to be forged. There are people that have to be, grease their palms with money to open doors for us or to look after us. So we've spent about $1,000 to save a child, of which $100 is actually set aside into a fund for the education of the child later on in life. And that's grown very substantially, by the way. But again, it just was, I knew I had to do this. And I knew full well that I could not bring in partners until recently. This is a recent thought now that we're looking at having the American people or Canadian, British, or Australians to help us.
Yet your life is still in danger, it seems like, from reading the book. There's at least threats out there, maybe not officially from the government, but there's still an element of danger to this, clearly.
There is. And, I was at a book signing in one of the largest bookstores in Canada on the weekend, and there were some people who had adopted Chinese children who were just incensed with me that I would do what I was doing and then not provide, DNA testing and all of this medical evidence that there'd be no problems with the child. But it was amazing that these very people were sitting in condemnation of me for doing what I was doing. It was quite amazing.
Because you weren't dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's as compared to letting children be slaughtered?
You got it. I don't know where their heads were at, but my goodness, it wasn't in line with what I'm doing.
You mentioned that you've dealt with the Chinese government. In addition to what I think most people would consider the barbarity of the policy, whether it's forced abortions, setting aside, which is essentially murder after they're born, or infanticide, they're essentially killing their own civilization a generation or two from now. Don't they see that?
Oh, absolutely. I think they do, and they don't. It's they're very stoic and very fatalistic in their view. But really, it is cultural suicide in the end. The skewing of the birth ratios, which would normally be 100 females to 104 to 106 males, is now 100 to 126. That's mammoth. And over the course of 25 years of this policy, you now have 160 million extra men who will never have a wife, never be able to have a family, a normal family. So these guys are all being put into the military. And you have a huge military, just huge in China now.
Jim, just the last couple of minutes here, real quickly, what can listeners know? What can they do to potentially support your efforts?
Well, now we're opening it up and would like to have partners with us. If you'd like to sponsor a child, the saving of the life of a little girl, you can contact us. If you look on the net, www.pinkpagoda.org, O-R-G, pinkpagoda.org, and there's a mailing address right there. And it's $30 a month to save a baby girl. And the day you do that is the day that we actually save a baby on your behalf.
Fascinating. Give the website one more time.
www.pinkpagoda.org. And that's the name of the book, too, The Pink Pagoda.
Absolutely, The Pink Pagoda. Pinkpagoda.org, again, the website. Jim, an incredible story. Congratulations on all of your successes, and much success to you as you continue.
Well, praise God for what he has done.
Well said. Jim Garrow is the author of The Pink Pagoda, One Man's Quest to End Gendercide in China. He is the head of the executive director, rather, of the Bethune Institute in Canada and the runner-up of the 2009 Nobel Peace Prize. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.